The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them. "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
I don't know, how does the gospel scene, does it hit the mark? Does it hit the mark for you? I don't know, are you moved by what you hear here? There's tremendous power at work in the passage, of course. There is great acts of faith, obedience, and the like. And then, of course, failure and faltering and all the rest. In other words, it's probably the perfect microcosm. It's emblematic of Christian life and the Christian life of faith. I think it's important.
As the 515 crowd, you never know where the homily is going to go, right? And you don't know because I don't know, right? I mean, this is like the first kind of hacking down the trees through the wilderness, right? And then eventually, like, a little path kind of shows itself. And by 11 or 11:15, whatever it is at the time, on a Sunday, it's like, okay, this is pretty well-worn territory. I'm pretty sure I know where it's going, even though sometimes, believe it or not, that spins out of control as well. But, tonight, I have a few things on my mind, and I need to see something in you, like, as I give it and see if it's, I don't know where the Lord is leading us as a people. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. The scriptures are given to us as something of a manual of discipleship. Right there. I mean, the scriptures is, even though this is the living word of God, the scriptures are a means to an end. They're a means to our worshiping God, our praising him, our loving him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our neighbors ourselves. This is our means by which we encounter Jesus, right? The living word of God. And he draws us to himself, and he sets us apart for God's purposes, and he unleashes us on the world. That's what's going on here, right? And we do that as a people. We do it as a people. And my friends, we're all in it together. And sometimes we lose track of that, don't we? We lose track of that. We think we're plugging away ourselves. We're not. We're in it together. And so, you know, how is God making his way? I had this thing on my mind. I don't know. Worship, okay? Okay, Lord, I've said the word. Do you know, like, he puts it here, and I say it. Worship. We have to worship the Lord God. And this is under many layers of this gospel passage. I have to worship God. And I want to say, part of this is stirred up by the fact that our experience of Sunday worship now is very different than it has been in recent history. No? Yes? No?
I was always, fired. I was wearing a mask before it was mandated. It's very different. Okay, we're very different. We're sitting apart from ourselves. We can't sing like we want to, and our hearts are moving. And we usually give ourselves over in that way. We give ourselves over by sitting close to people, by shaking their hands, and by experiencing the communion of the saints right here and now. It's an earthly reality. And we own that together, but now it's different, and it's not just that it is different, but that it feels different. And yet somehow, here and now, we have been summoned by God to this place to worship Him. And my push is to say, we can do it just as well now as we ever have done. It takes a little bit of reorientation for us. It takes a little bit more intention. The things that we could take for granted that would push us in the direction of, I don't know, full-hearted worship and praise of God are maybe not all in place right now. But what is in place is Jesus's action, both unfolding in the scriptures, fulfilling the promises of God that we hear about, right, in the Old Testament that we sing with the responsorial psalm, and the great prayer of Jesus as he offers himself on the cross once for all time as that perfect conduit of grace, of the life of God, of the strength of God for us that comes to us today in our participation in the Eucharist. Jesus' prayer is here, his turning his whole heart and life over to God. His every breath, his living and dying breath, he gives over to God in the sacrifice of the cross. And he then allows us to participate in that sacrifice. We offer ourselves to God through and with and in Jesus in the Eucharistic sacrifice that we present here on the altar. And then we receive his own life of love so that we can take worship and it becomes, I don't know, our prayer becomes flesh, or God's love, his life, becomes flesh in us. And we can then be sent out, not like on our way, but we can be sent out on his way, so that whoever we encounter, we then with them persevere in God's forgiving love, in the way that Jesus has walked before us. Worship, right? Worship. This Sunday after Sunday for us, this is the most significant hour of our week. This now. And by coming Sunday after Sunday. And my friends at home, I realize that you can't be here. I'm not saying this to guilt anybody into coming here. Pray through, if you have guilt about coming or not coming these days, pray through it. Because Jesus wants you to have peace. However he's leading you, he wants you to have peace. So don't be motivated by fear and guilt. That's not the end for us. That's not what in the end stirs us. But he wants us to have peace. He is allowing us, whether online or here, he's allowing us to make this the most important time of our week. And that's what, when we come here week after week, that's what we're saying. And we're not just saying it in our heads and in our thoughts, right, in our feelings. We're saying it in our flesh. That the reality of God being number one, our prioritizing God and his purposes begins here. It begins here. And we, when we come here, do everything we can to give him the very best. We give him the very best that we have. Even though it always comes up short, right? We give him the very best we have. We pledge ourselves whole and entire to him. Lord, my whole heart is yours. My whole life is yours. Right? He's the very center. He is the very center. Because in our culture, we need this as a firm point, right? We need this as like a, I don't know if we're planting our flag here or what, but we do it, and we do it every week. We have to do it because we're in a world that is like, how do you say, we're in a world adrift. Okay, so it's hard for us to keep our focus on Almighty God when what is surrounding us is the comforts and pleasures of the world, the stories of the world about what, who you are and what you're supposed to do with your life. We're just surrounded, we're bombarded with it. I mean, we live in it, we swim in it. And so then it's very difficult for us to swim against the current and to then find ourselves worshiping God, putting Him at the center and finding Him at the center instead of having ourselves at the center. And this, what we do here, as painful as it can be, especially when you have a long-winded pastor, right? As painful as that can be, this is your pledge to God. You're willing to stick it out. Even, I mean, no one entered the coronavirus splash zone here, but you're willing to stick it out, the long-winded pastor, right, who keeps going on about the same things week after week, right? But this is your pledge to God. It's your pledge to Almighty God. Lord, you are the most important thing. You are central. You are the center. And I will respond to you. Okay? So this is the first thought. I know, sorry, it's a long thought. I think it's a good one. We have to worship God. And we are doing it. We're doing it here together. We're continuing to prioritize Him. The second thought is a strange one, and I don't think I'm going to give much to it. But I need help, people. I need help understanding. And he's laughing because he knows how much I need help. But I need help. I need help understanding this. Why would Peter say this? Why would Peter say this to Jesus? I don't understand. If I'm in a boat and the storm is whatever, I don't care who's walking on the water. I'm not asking to go out there. Right? I want to be sheltered. I want to be as safe as I can be. Maybe that's part of the answer to the question. I don't know. But why is Peter asking Jesus to call him out on the water? I don't know. I want you to puzzle over that, because I'm puzzling over it. And I don't want to offer an answer. There's something there. Maybe the something is that Jesus is stirring his heart. Can you understand? Are you with me or no? Can I get a nod of the head? Like, why would you ask? This has never made sense to me. Hey, if that's you, Jesus, ask me to come out there. It's like, okay, I'm not sure, but there's something going on, right? Jesus has his heart. And Peter, I love Peter. I love him. I want to be Peter. I want to be this impetuous, right? I want to be this bold and daring, not thinking about the consequences, eyes on Jesus and go, right? That's it. I want to live outside of myself. I don't want to live always, you know, staring at my belly button. Do you know, like, okay, like, always considering, you know, where am I in this and all that. No, I want to, just Jesus. I want to live just for Jesus. And what I love about Peter as well, and one of the things that gives me great strength and courage in my pursuit of Peter's brand of holiness, which is the Christian brand of holiness, is that he's not afraid to fail. He's not afraid to fail. And I mean, how could you be? If you're afraid to fail, you're not going to get out of the boat. And I think that we have to grapple with that a little bit for ourselves as Christians. We have to fixate on Jesus. And then when he calls, we go. When he asks, we say yes. We just go. We keep going. And I think there's some parallel here, right, between what Peter's doing. He's asking to do what Jesus is doing. He wants to do what Jesus is doing. And perhaps even realizes that, on a storm-tossed sea, the safest place for him to be is with Jesus, no matter where he is. If he's in the boat, then stay in the boat, you know. But if he's not in the boat, you want to be there too. So where is Jesus now for us? And where is he calling us to be? Where is he at work in our lives? And perhaps like in our relationships, the people around us, the rest, where he's calling us to be there too. Where he wants to animate us so that we can meet the world's needs with his love, in the same way that he's met us with his mercy. Right? There's so much going on here. Don't preach the gospel in like a straight line, but these are images for our prayer. And we have focused prayer, eyes on Jesus. Keep walking forward. Keep going to him, no matter what the obstacles are. Are we going to face obstacles that feel like we're walking on water? I think we probably should. Are we going to be asked to apply the love and mercy of God where we think it has no hope? I think we will. Will we be brought, will we be called to pursue the path of forgiveness with people who have wronged us, or even with people that we have wronged, and work to, I don't know, knead God's love and mercy into what appear to be hopeless situations? Yeah. And he wants to revive the world with his love. It is the impossible task. It is the impossible task. But he's doing it. And he's calling us to do it with him. And you know what? At the end of the day, if this is our takeaway, this is the best thing in the world, I think. At the end of the day, if all we get out of this passage is St. Peter's prayer, we will have walked away with enough, right? That in our times of feeling like we're in over our head, we can't go on, we've lost sight of Jesus, what do we say? We say with him, Lord, save me. The shortest prayers are often the best. And if we can make that prayer from our heart, Jesus is right there to reach down and grab us. Lord, save me.